going to turn the recording on so I don't have to take notes as much. That's okay with everybody.
Justin Priest is not online.
His name is, oh no, he isn't. I'm actually in his office, so he's not here. But.
You guys all know I'm going to be there in 2 weeks.
Okay, great.
In town. Catch up on stuff. So.
Great. I got an email here. So I'll just kind of, I can hand this ball over to you guys if you want. You can tell me what you want to talk about. You want me to give you the, I think you can just share your screen if you want, Justin, if you have something you want to share. It'll be down at the bottom of the video screen.
Yeah, I know. I don't really have anything to share right now. So, hold on.
Eugene, tell me, what were you looking at?
Well, so one of the things we talked last time with Justin, was that the focus of the project, right? So we talked about, in our Redo write-up, we had talked about data regularization to speed up the queries and also to build the interface, which facilitates the visual analytics process.
Right.
So my impression has been from the previous meetings that our focuses are shifting more towards the interface part than the data organization. But I just talked to Justin like last week sometime, mm-hmm. to kind of see whether that was their understanding, and then we agreed that we should talk to you about this.
Right.
So this is one of the very first thing. The second thing is about the interface itself. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be good for me to see how the users typically operate with the existing interface. And then to learn the kind of questions that they tend to ask so that we could think about ways to improve the interface, perhaps to even for the data organization.
Right.
And then that's where last week the three of us decided that we want to involve you and Laura, maybe perhaps more Laura at this point because you're busy. I was thinking maybe I should just go down like a technical director in computer animation. Typically go down sitting next to the user and then just watch how the user design shapes and animation so that they can build the tools to support that. Because the technical directors are essential programmers and they don't really necessarily know what functionalities are needed and what functionalities are useful.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Can you guys see my screen or are you still seeing me?
I've seen a dark screen.
You started cheering, but I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's just a gray screen right now.
Oh, no. Great, yeah.
Okay, I don't know, am I supposed to do something else?
You have a template to show us?
Not really, I mean, I was just, like I said, I have the Amigo 2 running on our site now, but it doesn't seem to have it's not connecting to the data correctly. I was just going to show you that. And then I thought we'd maybe look at Go's actual Amigo instance and see, because I don't think any of us have really looked at what Amigo 2 does differently.
That'd be useful. So when we're talking about this user interface, that's what we're talking about, the browser, right?
Yeah. right. I mean, so my feeling is that we may want to consider building a different interface or maybe an enhanced interface that in addition to what was already available could also allow users to inspect their data and then generate queries visually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really handy.
Yeah. And on a related note, I think last time I asked about ontologies relating to animals.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being that of course, you know, when we build this interface, could it be somewhat extendable in the future to animal ontologies.
Yes.
Would be interesting, and also like to viruses or right. bacteria ontologies. Part of my thinking is maybe I'm not familiar with the field, but what I thought would be interesting is to know that the way I see this is the crops are interacting with the environment, including the viruses.
Sure.
Right. So as we are keeping track of the ontologies of the crops, it seemed to make sense to also kind of look at the other side of the puzzle, right? I mean, that's just a natural thought. And also, I was curious about like what animals are naturally inclined to have certain crops as diets, and this is again one interaction between the crops and the animals. So I was just thinking, it seemed like all these things somehow bundle together. And as we're talking about the crops, it might also be useful to think about their interactions to other types of things in the world.
Right.
And whether a tautology could also be built for that purpose. But again, just an outsider just dreaming. I'm not sure how useful this really is, or whether this is even something people have already done.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to pull out something.
Okay.
So maybe while Pankaj is doing that,
you keep looking for things. Yeah, I'm. Just
yeah, Justin, do you want to send me the link to the browser and I can share it? Because it doesn't seem like your screen sharing is working.
Yeah, it's weird. It says it is, but
all we see is a gray. At least all I see is a gray screen. But I could put it up for you. Oh, you put it in the Skype. Go find it.
Oh yeah, sorry. You wanted in.
It's okay. I sent you a chat on. I can get it from Skype. It's fine.
Oh, I didn't see it. Chat.
All right. Here we go. So I will open this, and I think I can share this. Get rid of a couple of other things out of the way here. So this is the Go Amigo. What you sent me.
Yeah. If you want to see what ours looks like, you can go to dev.plantium.org.
Which one do you want me to display?
Send the link in the chat, please.
Okay, I'm going to share the screen and I can also put it there. Which one do you want to look at first, Justin?
Doesn't really matter. The dev.plantium one isn't actually working yet for some reason.
Okay. So. I'll share this one with everyone. This is the Amigo 2 Gene Ontology browser. So let me just get my screen sharing up here.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Yeah. And I haven't used it that much, but I think if you go just click on the search at the top and then hit ontology.
All right, I can make this a little bigger. So this is searching that was information about ontology search. So there's some free text filtering you can do. Can look at the different branches of the ontology. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Okay. Let's go back to the main page here and look at the different tools they have. You can put some genes in and get term enrichment. It's a nice function. So is this live yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is up live. I've used this a few times, but usually I just kind of go straight to what I'm looking for, and I don't spend too much time on this front page.
Yeah, I haven't really used it at all. So, like I said, I got it to this point today where it looks like this.
Oh. So let's go and take a look at the other one, ours. I'll put that up. Might take a second here. Spinning.
It's weird. That's for me. Hold on.
Let me just stop it and restart it. There we go. So it does look exactly the same.
Yeah, except mine, if you go to the search in an ontology, there's nothing there.
Ah, yes.
So I've loaded the Solr, I've loaded the Amigo, but for some reason they're not talking to each other. And
okay.
Anyway, like 20 minutes ago that I got it to this point. So.
Yeah. Well, so I think the purpose but I, of the
but, kind of talk. But I thought we could still use the other one if we want to kind of look and see what it's going to look like.
Okay. And what kind of functionalities might be good to have?
Yeah.
So let's just take a look at a couple of these tools that they have here. So Grebe is for doing annotations. You're looking up different annotations for different terms, right?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, like, you guys are the ones that initiated this meeting, so maybe I should let you ask us the questions.
Well, I
so Eugene, you're curious, like, if this kind of a layout is good for users, or you're curious if these tools are tools that we would need, or
yeah. So I mean, what I like to experience is like you know, if you were to use a database to answer one of your questions, how would you without much of an idea of what happens, use the tool to gradually get to your the answer. That would be what I'm curious about.
So I think maybe to help answer this, it would be good to I'm just going to pull up our page, our current page.
Okay.
Here's our Drupal site. Mm-hmm. So right now, this is the kind of platform that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And you can do an ontology search here. Say you have a specific term that you want to look up, or you can go and look at the different ontologies that are going to be represented. And this might go towards your other question that you had, Eugene, about bringing in other organisms that interact with the plants and so on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the projects that we have is this plant stress ontology, and that will involve interactions between plants and other organisms such as viruses or, you know, browsers. Browsers meaning not computer browsers, but things that eat plants.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Those are called browsers too?
I beg your pardon?
Those are called browsers too, things that eat plants?
Yeah. You know, they call like grazers or browsers. You know.
Oh, okay. I've heard grazers, not browsers.
Same
okay.
kind of idea. So that's one way it might kind of be used. And it also links out to the gene ontology, or it has the gene ontology data here. Hi, Justin.
Hi, folks. I'm sorry. I got
caught in right.
car parking game.
You can join in. I even have speakers today.
Awesome.
Yeah, Justin Priest just joined us. So we're kind of looking at the Amigo 2 site and kind of looking at what our site looks like right now.
Okay.
And Eugene and Pankaj and the other Justin are on here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so
Go ahead.
This is Pankaj. Can I share my screen?
Sure. Do I need to stop sharing then?
Yes.
You can leave it open, Justin.
Okay, where am I? Share screen.
Should be right at the bottom of the video picture.
Yeah.
That's where it shows up for me.
Okay, can you all see?
There we go. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. Right. So, irrespective of what is on their website, I'm not worried about it right now. Let's say, let's search for a term called chloroplast. Okay. And I search for it. I get the ontology classes for Go is 27, and it's saying that there are about 5,100 genes are annotated to it, and then there are several annotations associations to that. So let's take a look at the ontology up here. And if I click on this particular term, this tells me a detail about that. That is a concept or a vocabulary, okay? Like a chloroplast. In the case of plant ontology, it could be one single term saying leaf or root or something else, right? If it was an animal ontology, they might be saying femur bone or a heart or a liver or something like that, right? That would be a canonical term. And it will give you a definition, some comments and synonyms, how it is called, or the ontology type or the parent class to which it belongs, right? And on the graphical view, it will tell you a little bit more about how this term is related with different concepts in the ontological tree. That's your DAG, directed acyclic graph, or a network of terms. And then there are different varieties. So, but these relationships that you see, the arrows, and in a hierarchy, they move from top to bottom. Okay. Like in a taxonomy, but this is not a taxonomy. It is a relationship. So they're moving from bottom up from that side, right?
So you can, correct me if I'm wrong, you can read it as a, let's see, what is blue there? Chloroplast part.
Oh, yeah.
Is part of chloroplast or chloroplast, or, and then black is a, which is a plastid, and then so on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So you would, yes, depending on this thing. So this is a graphical way, but you always have a textual way to read those things, or there are XML documentations associated with that. Just ignore that things that are ringing in, right? So we have so many relationships type. So all the terms in the ontology are your nodes, and these relationship types are edges in your network that you're looking at, right? And in a hierarchy, it's only one-to-one relationship, only one edge to connecting the nodes. But in the ontology, there are several edges connecting several other nodes to it, right? And depending on, so people might be able to say, show me only the cell parts that have this kind of relationship to regulates only, right? So you should be able to highlight a certain part of your network from that perspective. That's one way of looking at it, how a user might look at it, right? If it is reading only your ontology network, we haven't even got up to how annotation is connected to this thing, right?
Okay. Can I try to rephrase what you did to make sure that I understand what you were talking about? You'd like to be able to highlight parts of this image?
Yeah, I would be able to say, out of this thing, show me only the part of relationships, or show me only the is a relationship.
Okay.
Or show me only...
Right now, just a PNG or an SVG or something that's...
It can be anything. We don't worry about how it is.
No, I'm just saying that it's not something that's selectable right now. There's no image map associated with it, or it's not that smart of an image.
Right. So the idea is the graph is stored in the database, and all your nodes and edges are stored in the database. All we are trying to query the database to give you a visual picture of saying, show me only all the parts of an inflorescence, or show me all the parts of a flower, or the only the parts of a flower that develop from XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. So you highlight only certain parts of those network, not everything. Here you are looking at everything you need. Mm-hmm. So you can provide everything. This is, I don't know, it is generated on the fly, or is it... is this network or is pre-computed, but there may be a, you might start, if the network gets very nasty, you might start seeing a very complex query coming in and how to optimize that network. If the edge, number of edges are increasing and the number of nodes in that thing are increasing, right? So that's one optimization. So does that make sense to you, Eugene?
Yeah. Right. So I guess the question you asked earlier was whether the image was dynamically generated or...
Probably it is dynamically generated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I remember right, unless they've changed, it's either dynamically generated, but they're still just generated by GD. And I think they're just SVG images.
Yeah.
So you can't click on one of those, can you, Pankaj?
I don't believe so.
Right, we'll see what happens.
I think it does, but it takes you to the place where it actually
takes you to that term, right?
Oh, it does. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So it does have some kind of image map.
Yeah.
I see.
So that's a useful feature, too, because then if people want more information about specific terms,
mm-hmm.
it's nice that it's clickable. And, you know... There's other ontology viewers that are out there, and there are certain features of them that I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can show them the like.
Yeah, like for instance, on BioPortal they have an ontology viewer where you can move the branches around,
mm-hmm.
And then you can capture that image like for a figure or.
BioPortal.
I think that's a Java.
Yeah, that is
JavaScript.
It's a little Java applet.
Is that? I should be able to find it here, right?
That might work. Yeah.
What is that?
Well, so it's showing you all the terms that where that term shows up in different ontologies.
Oh man.
So if Pankaj, if you just go up to the very top and click on Browse. I'm pointing to it, but you can't see it, of course, in the blue bar there. Yeah, that one. And then you can pull down the planetology there.
Oh, yeah.
Or go to Go. Go is a little big, though.
No, I found it.
So, sorry, I don't know if they changed it, but going back to the being able to click on the image, it doesn't matter where on the image you click. It takes you to the same place. So it's not really an image map. It's just it's a link that is an image.
So every single place takes you to chloroplast?
Takes you to chloroplast part.
Oh. Because that's what the query was.
That's yeah.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
So, but what you'd like to be able to do is click on a piece like chloroplast or plasted and take you straight to there from the graphical view, right?
Right.
So here's what is, so let's go back to our terms where the details of that term were. And then let's say this was chloroplast part, and then several objects were annotated to be associated with this term. Let's say a gene was expressed in chloroplast part. So that gene was listed with, is added to that as an association. Or a mutant phenotype was associated with this term because you break down the gene or knock down the gene and the chloroplast was not formed. So there is an association annotation to that gene or a mutant accession, right? So those are listed here in the form of a table at the bottom.
Right?
These are the individual object IDs, various other properties, and it is saying that how it is annotated.
Right, the actual parts of the chloroplast that are actually annotated.
So there is a problem here. So Eugene, the situation here is because of the DAG,
mm-hmm.
Any annotation that has happened directly to a child of this term
mm-hmm.
gets ported upwards to the parent. So parent acquires everything that is annotated to its child. And certain types of edges may restrict whether that annotation is percolated to the parent or not.
I see. I'm curious to see how this annotation is done. So in other words, is there an interface that's, what's the interface like to construct this DAG graph or this DAG?
That DAG?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Expert graph views, is there a way of graphical PV interacting? Do we have another way of looking at it? I can check it out.
Isn't the inferred tree view?
Tree view has it?
I don't know. I'm not really sure what you're looking for.
How that statement is created? Just a sec. There used to be an OBO format or something like that to see that thing, right?
Oh, to download that. Yeah.
Right?
So basically the ontology is built, Eugene, and those relationships are put in saying that this, like the thylakoid membrane, is part of a chloroplast.
Mm-hmm.
And then the genes and so on are annotated to those terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two pieces of information are combined in that image you're seeing. So if you're asking kind of how the annotations are created, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm curious to see whether, for instance, if the user discovers two pieces of information that might be related,
mm-hmm.
Is there any way for the user to actually link them on the fly? And then based on that link, to go on with more searches. It's almost like people doing Google search. The more you search, the more the Google is keeping track of what you're searching and then start to use that knowledge to help you go to the places you like.
In our existing browser, you can do things like that. I'm not sure how extensively, but there definitely are links between the different types of entities.
Okay.
So I think what Pankaj is showing you right now is an example of
an OBO ontology file that you would see. Where is this thing gone now? It's just
I think you could use any of the stanzas, it's fine.
Right. So technically speaking, it will tell you whatever you saw as a detail is an ID or an accession of a term, name, and namespace to which ontology belongs definition. And the DAG tree that you just saw was based on the is-a and relationship. Is-a is a default, and then relationship part of. That would tell you how this graph is constructed.
Yeah, like the relationships between that term and all the other terms in the ontology.
Right. Does that make sense to you? So every time there is an object is created or a node is created, it would have its own ID and a name. Mm-hmm. But then if it is connected to several other terms as child or with through other relationship,
mm-hmm.
then you would start seeing the additional features or properties in this for that particular term or for any other term rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how to modify this file? This so we have an interface where
people are using an OBO editor, ontology editor, or if it was they also serve it in OWL. So there is a Protégé ontology editors developed by Stanford group that people use that ontology to annotate create those things as well. But this is essentially it is an extension of OWL or OBO, but you can actually do it in any. That's not a lot of problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So this file with all these relationships has been built up manually.
So when LOL and other ontology developers develop this file, they make all their edits and commits and changes in this file.
Mm-hmm.
And that is submitted to our version control system. And then at the time when we think that this file is mature enough, then Justin Elser say, takes over for a particular database release and then parses this file and dumps it into the database, right? And that's how it starts working from that.
Okay? Pretty much. And the annotations are done in a similar way. It's the 16 column,
yeah.
16 or 17 column tab delimited flat file that gets loaded at the same time with this, and it just builds it all up from these two files.
I'll just show it to you.
Yeah, you could show them an example of what the annotation files look like.
Download. Oh, jeez. Oh, okay.
You just go to the SVN and push.
Yeah. Trunk or branches? Trunk?
Trunk. Yeah, there you go.
Pick a small one.
Yeah, like even the top one there, the Anisotis would be.
Oh, is that on top? Okay.
Yeah. So this just show, it's basically a 16 column.
So it text is file. So every call. So what you're looking at is here is an annotation file, Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Every column is predefined what goes in which column. Okay, that's why you're not seeing the head column headers here.
Okay.
Right. And so somewhere it would be what is the source of this database and what's the name or ID of that object in that source provider. And what they call it, and how it connects to one of the ontology terms.
Mm-hmm.
What is the inference or problem, or some kind of a PubMed citation, a standard like a bibliographic citation from a reference database.
Mm-hmm.
This show tells you what kind of experiment was used to infer that association. These are acronyms, and I'll tell you a little bit more there. There are much more detailed files, okay. And then this is nothing but some kind of a symbol saying whether it is an acronym or ontology class that you are annotating it to. And then these are just synonyms and what kind of an object is that, which species it belongs to, and what date and who contributed that or who annotated that. So what you saw over here associations like this thing, mm-hmm. this data in this table is essentially coming from this table. So in the day, Lol, I cannot hear you.
Can you hear?
We can hear.
Yeah, I wasn't able to. So in the database, last I saw, I don't know about how it is stored in the present Amiga 2.0 or 2.x version of the database. When it used to be a MySQL database, there were tables for associations and annotation tables. They were ontology tables, there were term tables, there were cross-ref tables, and there were annotation tables in that. So the data was flowing. Everything was stored principally in the database that they were locally maintaining at that point.
Okay.
And that's how we do it for planetology, but as we are moving to 2.0, I think it's more index-based or more solar searches-based rather than in a fixed MySQL schema.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So these are what, so over here you will see that this is a direct annotation to one of the child terms.
Mm-hmm.
So the child term, so database has the script. First, I think it is they don't store this information. They store the correct annotations to this object annotated to this term,
mm-hmm.
right? So that is the direct association that is stored in the database. Similarly, in the database is also stored that this particular term is a child of the term that we are looking up over here, right? So yeah. That relationship is stored. So how it percolates is a separate script that they run to give you an inference
mm-hmm.
on the fly, right?
Mm.
The percolations up towards the parent is not stored. It is generated on the fly.
Okay.
And so the situation here is that I don't know if the database allows it or the infrastructure allows it, or you may be saying that some of the relationships is a and part of
mm-hmm.
The percolations are allowed. But some relationships like develops from or other relationships, the percolation may not be allowed
mm-hmm.
or towards the parent. Or there might be relationships where the annotations move from parent to the child.
Mm-hmm.
The directionality is different for the edge. And that is not happening now. I think we might have to fix that thing.
Okay.
So any of these would connect back to much more detailed pages or views of that thing. So I'll just click on that particular term. Apparently this is a Rice annotation.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that it is still finding some of the terminologies.
Okay.
So we came from one term association to one annotation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that particular object may be annotated to 5 or 10 different terms in that database.
Right.
Right? In order to capture the best characteristic of that molecule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's taking time. Come on. Here you go. So that particular term is annotated to 4 more terms.
Mm-hmm.
So over here, what you're seeing is one annotation per row.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's the same ID, object ID, but annotated to 4 different terms in that ontology. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if that particular term may have more than one evidence, then also the column is repeated. The row is repeated. So this is exactly showing you row by row data.
Okay.
Up here from that side. So you can imagine there are lots of concepts in the ontology graph itself. Many of those are used to annotate one single object or multiple objects.
Mm-hmm.
So the scale is increasing. So number of objects to be annotated would always be much more than the ontology itself.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking at, let's say, a Rice genome would have 45,000 genes, and gene ontology, which is there, it has about 28,000 terms.
Okay.
Only about 1,000 to 2,000 terms were used for annotating for plant purposes in this thing, right? So mm-hmm. not all the ontology terms are plant specific. Some of them are bacteria, some are animal, or some of the other specific as well.
Okay.
So this is a textual way of looking at certain things. So on the side, I think there was an option to limiting your terms by certain type. If there were different types of evidence codes, it will say, can you filter your queries for a certain type of an evidence code,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, that's a handy thing to have for sure.
Right. Or if it was a taxon, then it will say, although this one is from single taxon, but if I go back, so this one is one single term, but lots of species, maybe they are different species, so we can have different evidence types, and you can limit those, or you can limit it by taxon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So, all the features that are in that annotation, or you can limit only to the ones which are directly connected to this one, but not through the children or through the children. You can select your children which you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's a useful one too.
Yeah. So this is very click and more or less like clicking and browsing and one by one and things like that. It's not for the advanced users, basically, which you will be looking at. At the point of time, right?
Are you able to download a list of annotations? That's something that we didn't have in the current browser that a lot of people think would be useful.
Where was that? A second, let me check.
Is there a way to capture this set of annotations once you've done your filterings?
It used to be, I don't know where is it.
Maybe at the top of the list here or at the bottom. I can't see the bottom right now because of the screen.
So Chris couldn't read.
I don't think so. There used to be an option to download all the annotations that are showing up in this table. Oh, maybe this is the one. Here. Up to 1,000. So I should be able to download the terms that are in. So these are all the children of that parent term that we were looking at. So ID and this thing. And I don't know if you can get all the annotations.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was I thought there was a place where you can download it as like a CSV file. Maybe I'll have to explore Amigo 2 a bit more.
Let me check.
That's through using like the Goose tool. You have to go through.
Yeah, here. Download. No, somehow it's broken.
Oh, there we go. Select fields to download. So you just...
So if I'm looking for annotations, then I should be able to do that. I'm not going to do that right now, but we can pick and choose. So this is very... I would say this is very clumsy. Nice. And not very useful for the easygoing. Users want to avoid all these clutters. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm like an advanced user, and if I don't like it, imagine a first timer coming in or a casual user coming in, and if he sees thousands of options to choose and select from, then he just gets withdrawn from this website.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is one way, although it is a good idea to have all these options and telling him what things do you want to add, want to select and get it in your file, kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pankaj, are you saying that one of your major objectives for a revised or a future browser is user simplification, user interface simplification?
Yes, it has to be simplified, and there might be different methods and different ways and means how to download or how to visualize your networks, and I'll show you one example for example.
Okay.
So let's say if we are able to put all these concepts into a network diagram, right? All we are telling is that there are a bunch of nodes that are connected with some kind of edges, right? And edges, evidence codes and associations and relationships within the ontologies are defining these edges in some ways. So if I was interested, for example, this is the whole thing, and I look for a term, and I was looking at GA biosynthesis process, mm-hmm. I'd be able to say select only my first neighbors, and I should be able to say what are the terms that are associated, how those objects like Nipponbari is an object that was associated with biosynthesis process, and the phenotype was normal. It was acid in a leaf. Although the more details are not showing up here, but you may be able to get those kind of thing. And what kind of traits was this Nipponbari also was analyzed for those kinds. So first degree, second degree, fourth degree neighbors in the network that we are looking at. There might be some clever way of visualizing these networks and annotations. From that perspective, right? So over in the network over there, we were able to see only how these are connected one by one.
Mm-hmm.
But in the network, you should be able to see a picture of saying this yellow may be a class sub. Belongs to one ontology, this one to another, this one to another, this one to another. So how four or five different domains of ontologies are connected
to each other,
right? So, for example, I'll give you a very complicated example. Here, take a look at it. And I'll tell you. Right? So, this is a single statement. Eugene, the top one.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is highlighted can be represented in an ontological way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, these are all. So, let's say list all. This is a simple query people would be doing, right? You can do it in different ways, but I just wrote it down in a sentence. List all genes expressed differentially in the leaves of rice plant varieties IRBB5 and IR24 at the 5-leaf visible growth stage. And so different colors mean different ontology.
Okay.
But you can construct a statement like that for a person to be looking at. So these are the various ontologies that I'm highlighting, and that we plan on hosting in the Plantium website.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene, if you'll recall, pardon me for interrupting, Pankaj, we had discussed this a bit, I think, when you and Justin and I last met, and we talked about multi-ontology intersection.
Yeah.
And showing how that might look.
Right.
Just to make connections.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So that's what you are trying to do, kind of thing. So can we pull those information? So what I was trying to do here is, let's say, mm-hmm. Where is my IR? Oh, which is. So DG WuGen, for example, was, or yeah, here you go, IRBB5, right? That was one of the example, and I can select first degree neighbors. So I should be able to, this is my germplasm or rice varieties. It belongs to a taxon. I say leaf streak, color absent, and this is resistant, right? So I would be able to see all the properties or every other object which or node that IRBB5 connects to. And what can I learn about this germplasm, right? So I should be able to see all the features of that side.
I see.
So that's what I'm thinking about.
Very good. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there might be some clever ways of how to present this kind of a network. Network is going to get very complicated and very large pretty soon.
Right. So it seems like right now you can change this the object interest and then see the neighbor adjacency relationship in the graph.
Yeah.
Of course, you mentioned that maybe there could be some simplifications, filtering going on visually this way. And I'm just thinking perhaps the user could also perform annotation on the graph. This annotation may not be the final, may not be accepted,
mm-hmm.
but could be used as way as a hypothesis.
Yeah.
And so I can see a lot of I guess I see places where we might be able to make the interface more graphical.
Right.
And interactive.
Right.
And hopefully that'd be the win for the users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry, guys. I have a meeting at 3 o'clock also.
Yeah.
I know this is going great. I would like to continue maybe. Are there some XML files that I can read about that... so I can look into the data structures a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and Lol and Justin's, both of you, can you work with Eugene to provide him the OWL files, the ontology, and...
Absolutely.
And something more about, let's say, give him some documentation about the Amigo 1.8 database, so the tables would look like, and then those tables were essentially retransformed in the NoSQL store that's being used in Amigo 2.x.
Yeah, I should be able to actually just grab the schema and send that.
So point him to that so that he can understand how the data is being organized. And if there is a documentation place, then point him to that as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Can I also recommend, Justin, if you send him some background or links on OWL and OBO and RDF?
Mm-hmm.
So OWL and OBO formats and documentation on association, we have it on the Planetology files, Planetology website.
Cool. Okay.
Great.
Wonderful. So I think that would be a good start, and then I think it would need a couple of more meetings to actually come to a plan. It's not going to be that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take a while and take some time. And also, at some point, I'd like to bring my student to the table as well. At the moment, I try not to take him, bring me in yet, because I feel like kind of strange if he's learning and I'm also learning. I'd like to get a bit of an understanding of this first.
Sure. Absolutely. Sure. Like,
yeah, that's definitely.
And anytime you want to get together face-to-face and discuss things, we could do that as well.
You're in Corley, right?
Like, yes.
So I'm only like 2 minutes away, 2-3 minutes away.
Are you over in Kelly?
Yes, Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah. Come to Kelly.
Well, you can come to Kelly. There's the
email. I'm in Corley.
Yeah, you have a coffee shop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's great talking to you today, Eugene. Thanks a lot, and I hope
thank you.
Helpful.
Yeah.
you know, we're happy to send you lots of information. I just haven't wanted to like bombard people with things, but certainly send you lots of background information on the various types of ontology formats and languages and.
Right. And you don't have to wait for getting a response from on the phone, Eugene. You can just call or just Skype. Okay, sometimes it's much better to be talking rather than just writing in the emails and things. That's what I
am. Okay. Okay. Or I might as well just go and knock on the door.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. My hope is to get a fundamental understanding of all the different types of ontologies. As at least from a user point of view, I mean, as a computer scientist, I'm not a biologist, so I won't be able to fully appreciate this, but at least to get some understanding of this so that I can, along with studying the current table structures, the schema structures, can start to sort of see how this might be linked to some future interfaces. And the other thing I like to develop is to have a design requirement, basically to say, how our new interface should look like, what functionality should it have, and so on and so forth, and then kind of reach agreement among all of us before we start developing anything.
So what I'm thinking is what you're probably looking at is how these ontologies are used in the annotation, to give a couple of examples.
Yeah, that's
and how a user would use it in that sense.
Right.
Good. So I think we can do that. Maybe next week or something, we can all sit together in a room and we just walk through a couple of things by going on the whiteboard and telling you how we do it.
That'd be great. And I'm without a background, I may be very slow, so please be patient with me.
Mm-hmm. No problem. We understand.
Thank you. Yeah, my next meeting has come. It's here at the door. So I'll thank you again for spending the time and educating me on the project. And I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye bye.
I think you have to stop sharing your screen. That's a nice bookcase.
All right. So yeah, I'll leave the meeting then. Okay, how do I leave the meeting? Oh, by the way, Wotong is going to be working with us.
Hello.
Can you see him?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. So Laura and Justin's face is hidden. Yeah. Oh, no, you're out. Okay.
Don't drop your computer. Justin,
yeah, Elser. Yeah, and the Pankaj and then another Justin, they're... yeah. So basically, we've all been on the emails. Yeah.
Okay. Also, we'll communicate with each other by emails.
Yeah. Maybe another time.
Yeah.
I was just having a meeting, learning something. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
How do I leave?
Bottom right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we're gonna wrap up anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you. Talk to you later then.
Thank you very much. Bye.